Chapter 2. History of Educational Reform Prior to 1844. We now approach the study of the educational reform carried on among the Protestant denominations in connection with the first angel's message prior to 1844. The following statement shows that there was need of a reform in education at that time. Quote, "When the truth for these last days came to the world in the proclamation of the first, second, and third angels' messages, we were shown that in the education of our children a different order of things must be brought in." Close quote. Testimonies for the Church, Volume 6, page 126. It is impossible in the limit of time to study in detail all the experiences of the group of more than 60 schools advocating reform in education before 1844. With no attempt to exhaust the subject, the object will be to show that the light of Christian education shone with sufficient clearness in various schools of the United States to give the Protestant denominations an opportunity to gather up these principles as they were developing in the various schools, to incorporate them in their own church schools, quote, "to come into the line of true education," close quote, and to train an army of missionaries to spread the message to the world at that time. For convenience, the various phases of Christian education will be considered as follows: the place of the Bible in education, ancient and modern worldly classics, elective courses of study, degrees and honors, reforms in diet, location of schools and school buildings, training for self-supporting missionary work, and a layman's movement. The attitude of the Seventh-day Adventist student toward these problems will measure his efficiency in the proclamation of the third angel's message. Historians quoted, "The history of the educational reform movement prior to 1844, from which we quote, has been written in most part by men not in sympathy with the reforms made at that time. Many of these schools, after relinquishing their reforms, developed the popular system of education. The educators connected with these schools in their later history are no more proud of that period which covers these reform experiences than is the man who has once known Christ and has followed him in simplicity and has later gone to the world. Such a man is apt to make light of his religious experience and excuse himself for his former attitude toward reform." So these historians, writing after the reform period, have often pictured the reform in an unfavorable or even in a ridiculous light. Had we access to the reformers themselves, doubtless the movement would appear in a still stronger light. Enough is given, even by the enemies of the movement, to satisfy the reader that the Spirit of God did stir the hearts of educational and church leaders on these great reforms, and under its guidance they attempted to practice them.